much of our faith actually depends upon the blessings that God has given to us? And how would we face these times of silence, absence of His presence? How much of our faith rests on the blessings He's given? Massive implications for us to think about. Think about it. We believe in God when He sends healing for our sicknesses, provision for our troubles, guidance in our lives. But what about the times when He's absent, when the sickness remains, when the provision disappears, when God seems to be nowhere to be found? What then? Where's your faith then? Where's mine? Attribute to God His character that you know and have been taught in the midst of these times. 13th verse as we move on. In the midst of these trials where God seems absent, we also need to remember that He is provident over everything. He is in control. Verse 13, He's unchangeable, Job says. Who can turn Him back? What He desires, He does. In the midst of these trials, we need to remember that all that happens is in accord with His providence. And there's a mystery here, and we wrestle with this mystery often, even in our Bible studies and in our conversations and our discussions. And this mystery between God's providence and His will and our freedom of choice and our humanness that He's given to us to choose, unlike any other created thing. The depth of Job's spiritual maturity in the midst of this trial should be something we all strive to obtain. You want to know where you are spiritually? What would you do in the midst of this kind of a trial? And we need to strive for Job's maturity. He's searching for Him. He knows God knows where he is, even though he's confused at the time. And then he also knows, look, this is happening. God's in control. He's unchangeable. Nobody can change His ways. What He desires, that's what He does. And again, in the backdrop of all of this, and it perhaps doesn't need to be said, but remember, Job was not sent a notice from God. Hey, Job, you're going to go through a trial. Satan has challenged me. I've chosen you. Good luck. It's not what happened. Job had no idea of this conversation between Satan and God. Everything just changed. He didn't know why. He didn't know that he'd done anything to deserve this specifically. He's going through this trial, and yet what does he do? He says, I don't know what's going on. I can't sense Him. I can't hear Him. But He knows where I am, and I know He's providential. Job's been thrust into this trial. He's been abandoned again by those he loves. He's been accused by those he's called friend of all kinds of terrible things. Worst of all, he can't hear, see, or sense, or perceive God in the midst. He's searched for Him. He knows God knows where he is, but for some reason, he's chosen to withhold His presence, and yet still, Job says, it's all according to His providential hand. I am His to do with as He pleases. Do you really think that about God? Do you really think that about God? God, I am yours to do with as you please. My life is not my own. It's been bought with a price. Therefore, God, help me to glorify you, whatever the road might be. It's as though he throws up his hands in resignation of his own wisdom and in his submission to God. And it's a beautiful thing to see and to behold. He lets go of his own wisdom. He's resigned to the fact that God he's in control somehow. And I don't see it and I don't understand it. And the worst part of it is, he's not answering me when I call. When I stand out and I throw rocks at his window to try to get his attention, I don't get anything in response. There's seemingly one-way communication that's going on. I'm calling upon him all the time, and I really want an answer to what's going on in my life. But every time I knock on the door, every time I bow up on my knees, every time I cry to him and say, God, I just want to hear your voice. I want to tell you what's going on in my heart. I want you to understand what's going on in my mind so that you then could speak to me, so that I could understand. And yet it's just dead silence. Just deafening silence is all that he hears. What would you do in those moments? What do we do in those moments defines our spiritual maturity and the path that we're going to take. Because do you know what's going to happen? This is, by the way, why this is why you need to keep this book open in front of you every day. It's why you need Christian friends in your life. It's why you need others to come and to carry you along at times. Because if you don't have those things in your life, the world is going to fill that vacuum. And you know what they're going to tell you? God isn't even real. They're going to say, he doesn't exist. You can't. And in those moments when you can't hear from him, you're going to be susceptible to that nonsense. You're going to be susceptible to this absolute insanity that all of this just somehow cosmically happened by accident. And that your life somehow doesn't make any real sense. It's just you're going to die and you're just this carbon-based life form and this dirt that's going to go back and that's it. And that insanity and silliness is going to make sense to you. And you're going to buy it. And then you're going to make decisions in your life. And you're going to stop looking for God. You're going to stop listening for God. You're going to stop putting people around you that remind you to look for Him.